Welcome to the Natcha Healing Show. Keep it Natcha, be the Natcha Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kirikan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKirikan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, I've got a special guest for you today. It's me. So I really enjoy interviewing experts from all over the world about natural healing. And today I'm going to be speaking with you. So what am I going to be talking to you about? I'm going to be talking to you about 10 things that I learned recovering from total hip replacement surgery. All right, so let's look at the big picture. According to the American Joint Replacement Registry, about 544,000 hip replacements are performed in the United States every year. So over 500,000 people every year go through what I went through. So my hope is by sharing what I have learned that maybe I'll be able to help someone. Now, you probably haven't heard from me. I haven't been blogging because I've been recovering from hip surgery. So my hip surgery was a month ago, as of 2 days ago. And just to give you an idea of where you're at, for the past 2 weeks, I've averaged walking over 11,000 steps a day. I'm not in any pain. I'm off all pain medication, both prescription pain medication and over-the-counter medicine. So I'm not on in any pain. I'm walking normally, and I'm off all pain medications, and I'm walking a lot actually. And this past week, I went to a physical therapy appointment, my first physical therapy appointment, and the physical therapist said that my range of motion in my hip joint was totally normal. And even though my left hip is now a little bit tighter than the right, it's still totally normal. And so again, I'm really hoping that what I have to say may be able to help you or help someone that you love. So I had hip surgery by a wonderful surgeon here in Atlanta, Dr. Galen Burtis. The hospital was amazing. The nurses were amazing. The staff was amazing at every Johns Creek here in Atlanta. Now, one of the things that I want to point out, I am an expert in natural healing. I have 32 years experience in natural healing. I've taught yoga for 31 years. I've published 10 books. And of course, here I am as the host of the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. So there is a time and place for all kinds of medicine. So as many of you know, I've published 10 books. And one of my 10 books is all about how to get out of pain naturally without drugs. And it's called The Difference Between Pain and Suffering by me, Catherine Kirikan. And before I recorded this broadcast, I was really reflecting because, again, there's a place for everything. I don't do surgery. I don't do hip replacement surgery. But one of the areas where I think natural healing really excels is actually in two areas: helping people restore their energy and also helping people get out of pain. And of course, in traditional medicine, one of the tools in their tool chest is pharmaceutical drugs. And when you go through surgery and you're in anesthesia and they put an 8-inch cut in your hip, you definitely need to take the pain drugs, but maybe not as long as you would fear. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about. So by the time that I even went to the doctor for an x-ray, I had already done everything, pretty much everything in my book and then some. So again, The Difference Between Pain and Suffering is a handbook that I wrote many years ago about how to get out of pain naturally. And that is because at the time that I wrote the book, before the pandemic, one of the leading causes of death was actually overdose from opioids. So many of us are turning to prescription medication when we have pain rather than turning to natural healing, which again, I think is one of the areas that natural healing absolutely excels. So what had I been doing before my hip surgery? I was teaching yoga 9 times a week. I went to the chiropractor regularly. I was on an anti-inflammatory diet. And whenever I'm dealing with anybody with any kind of pain, one of the things that I talk about is that when you have pain, that is actually inflammation. And 70% of inflammation begins in your gut. And that is why what you eat is so important, as whether you're causing yourself pain or reducing your pain. And I came up with a sentence a long time ago when I was trying to explain this to my clients, which is that nobody in their right mind eats cats. Nobody in the right mind eats cats. So it's a simple way of remembering what are foods that cause inflammation. So what foods cause inflammation? Caffeine. I'd cut out caffeine. Alcohol. I reduced alcohol. Tobacco. I don't smoke. Sugar, reduced sugar, and then of course fried foods and gluten, what I call the friends of cats. And ironically, what's interesting about cats, if you're a cat lover, you'll laugh along with me. If you think you can control a cat, you're wrong. And so many of my clients, I'll help them improve their diet when they want to get out of pain. And they will tell me, they said, when I eat the way you recommend, I actually eat less and I'm less hungry. Versus when we're eating all these processed foods that are high in sugar and high in fat, and we're eating caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, fried foods, and gluten, then your diet is even more out of control and you're in a lot of pain, you have trouble with your weight. And you don't understand why you hurt all the time. So I've been on an anti-inflammatory diet for a really long time. Lots of fish oil, lots of turmeric, lots of distilled water. Alexander Graham Bell cured his own arthritis by drinking exclusively distilled water. And I get distilled water delivered to my house. I use it for drinking water. I use it to make my tea, and I even give it to my dog. And what was interesting was a couple of years ago, two things happened. One of my neighbors, and we're on the same water line here in Atlanta, she got her water, her tap water, scientifically tested. And this Atlanta tap water is absolutely toxic. And she shared the test results with me. And again, my first thought was, thank God I've been drinking distilled water forever. And even I give it again to my dog, right? Because animals like little dogs and little cats, they're smaller than us, and their bodies can be even more affected by toxins than ours are. So, and then the second thing that happened that was really interesting, my house is 86 years old. And last year I had a plumbing emergency. There's no good emergencies really, but plumbing emergencies are among the best. It was a Friday afternoon and I was actually down in my healing room doing hands-on healing with a client. And my handyman was upstairs on the third floor cleaning the bathtub. So he had the water running. I'm downstairs working on the ground floor. And I saw water pouring down the wall. Well, that ended up resulting in a $22,000 plumbing repair. I have a wonderful plumber, but I remember he took videos and photographs of the interior of my pipes. And they were, again, completely corroded. There was all this black crud inside of my pipes. the old pipes in this 86-year-old house. And again, my first thought when I had two thoughts when I saw the inside of these pipes was, it's amazing I don't have a terminal illness. And secondly, thank God I get distilled water delivered to my house. So those of us who are really wanting to be healthy, we're wanting to get out of pain, one area that I find often gets overlooked for people is the quality of your water. So you want to be thinking about what kind of water is coming through the pipes in my house, what kind of water am I drinking regularly, and you want to drink the cleanest, purest water that you can. So also in my book, The Difference Between Pain and Suffering, I talk about the correlation between emotions, unresolved emotions, and pain. So I had done a tremendous amount of healing on the emotions in my hip. I'd received healing from others. I'd done energy healing for myself. And I share all that because sometimes in natural healing, we can get a little judgy, like, oh, why does this person have this illness? Well, I'm 66 years old. I have a body. I try to do my best to take good care of my 66-year-old body, but everybody's got a body. And how well are you taking care of your body? So, again, by the time that I went to the doctor for an X-ray, I had already done pretty much everything in my book and then some. Another thing that a lot of people may not think about when you're thinking about your hips is I'd done a thorough inventory of my shoes. Now, why is that important? Again, I've taught yoga for 31 years. Before my hip surgery, I was teaching yoga 9 times a week. Your hips control your feet. So if you've got a problem with your hip, you've got to look at what's happening with my feet, or my feet even on the ground. Am I pronating? Am I supinating? Am I wearing ancient shoes that are totally worn out, that are not supporting my body? So I was, before my hip surgery, I was a big fan of flip-flops, which I know are terrible for your feet. I had, two baskets full of fabulous flip-flops. I had to stop wearing my flip-flops and start wearing higher quality shoes in order to support my feet. And I remember I went down to see my mother in May of this year, and it was really interesting because my mother's 88, I'm 66, and she had hip surgery actually on her left hip also. So I went down to support my mother. And, as a caregiver, it's very time intensive. Finally, I had a little bit of time to go for a walk. And I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. Savannah is pretty much totally flat. So I walked from my mother's house around Forsyth Park in these old shoes, and these are walking sandals. And I was in so much pain walking in my old sandals. I came back and I threw out my old walking sandals and went out and bought 2 new pairs of shoes. So you want to look at your shoes. So by the time I went to the doctor, Dr. Burtis, he walked in the room and he said, "I'm so sorry, you have severe end-stage osteoarthritis." It was bone on bone. And again, I'm used to feeling really good. And one of the side effects of natural healing is you just walk around with lots of energy, feeling wonderful, and it's easy to do your life, and you feel pretty happy and pain-free all the time. So this was, an interesting experience to be doing my best to be pain-free and getting worse and worse as my hip deteriorated. So I asked the doctor, on a scale of 0 to 10, how bad is it? And he said, "It's like you've already totaled your car." So I remember he said that he could give me a shot of cortisone, but if you have a cortisone shot, then you have to wait 3 months before surgery. And I already knew that I had already done all these wonderful natural and inflammatories. I'd worked on my structure, I'd worked on the emotions, I'd worked on the energy in my hip. And it was really time for surgery. So I signed up for surgery. So Let's now take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. And I'm going to share with you what I learned recovering from total hip replacement surgery. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author, and I'm here talking to you today about 10 things I learned recovering from total hip replacement surgery. So I'm going to hit the highlights and then I'm going to go over the details. Number one, get your body as clean as possible before surgery. Number two, take all aspects of your physical fitness seriously now before you need any help. Number three, drink organic juice to speed up your recovery. I just had a huge glass of green juice this morning before I did this recording. Number four, avoid taking oxycodone, also known as hydrocodone, if at all possible. Number five, take as little pain medicine as you can tolerate. Number six, do all the recommended physical therapy exercises. Number seven, start walking even with a walker or hiking poles as soon as you can. Number eight, anesthesia really does a number on your brain. Number nine, allow friends and neighbors to bring your family dinners. Give yourself permission to receive the love and support of your friends and family. Number 10, rest. I learned that I really suck at resting. Not that that was a newsflash, but your body heals through rest. And I always joke, rest is a verb. It's something that you do. And when you're recovering from any kind of surgery, you want to really give yourself permission to rest. Mental rest, physical rest, soul, deep soul rest. So let's go into these details as much as we can. So why would you want to get your body as clean as possible before surgery? Now, normally, I don't take any prescription medications on a regular basis. Now, obviously, when you go into the hospital and they put you to sleep and they make an 8-inch incision in your hip, you're going to need pain medicine. So the anesthesia and the drugs you have to take for hip surgery will do a number on your liver, kidneys, and immune system. And it was quite interesting because the medical system, they require you to do blood work before the surgery because they want to see how healthy is this person. So before my surgery, of course, everything was very, very healthy. And it was quite interesting. Initially, the whole experience knocked me out so much, I actually had to spend the night in the hospital. Now, normally, I have very low blood pressure, like 100 over 60 is pretty typical for me. My blood pressure was 86 over 47 after the surgery and didn't normalize until 3 a.m. the next morning. So I remember the physical therapist came into the room as I was recovering from the hip surgery. And the first thing they do is a standing test. In other words, can you stand up? And I failed the standing test because my blood pressure was so low. So going to back to that big picture, you want to get your body as clean as possible because you're going to have before surgery because you're going to have to receive medication. So what does that look like? So simple things you can do. If you have access to a far infrared saunas are one of the fastest ways to remove toxins out of the body. I didn't need to do that. I have a far infrared sauna, but eating clean is just a part of my lifestyle. Eating a real clean diet. I was doing a bio detox, which is a hypoallergenic protein shake that I private label that detoxes your joints. And remember that when you have arthritis, any kind of itis is inflammation. Rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, that's inflammation, right? And so you hold toxins in your joints. So drinking the distilled water, drinking juices, drinking smoothies, cleaning up your diet, removing caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, fried foods, and gluten out of your diet to the extent that you are able, and cleaning up your diet, it's going to make it way easier for you when the doctors have to prescribe medications. Now, the second thing that I learned, I remember, is to take all aspects of your physical fitness seriously now before you even need surgery. So, again, before my surgery, I was teaching yoga 9 times a week. I love yoga. I teach all different kinds of yoga. In fact, I've taught yoga every week for 31 years. According to my Whoop, I wear a Whoop around my wrist, which is a fitness monitor, gives you way too much information. My resting heart rate is better than a 22-year-old athlete, male or female. So I have a very strong foundation of physical fitness. Because I had a foundation of strength, flexibility, and balance, after my surgery, I could bend over and put on my shoes, which is a big deal. And I remember what they gave me a very small, short yoga strap because initially I had to like lift my leg into the bed. But even so, because I had this strong foundation of physical fitness, I could bend over, I could put on my shoes, I didn't have to ask my partner to tie my shoes. And I also had really good balance, which is really important when you are recovering. So within 4 days, I could walk without a walker or hiking poles. And so this is interesting. When my partner actually had hip replacement surgery on his left hip, this is a thing apparently among my loved ones, a couple of years ago, probably about 3, 4 years ago. And he's a hiker, so he used hiking poles after his surgery. So I had a walker, just a traditional walker, and I used the walker to walk around the house initially. And then I switched to hiking poles, but within 4 days, I could walk without a walker or hiking poles, including up and down the 3 floors in my house. So when your bedroom's upstairs and the kitchen's on the, middle floor and the TV room's downstairs, you find yourself going up and down the stairs whether you want to or not. So within 3 weeks, I was walking an average of over 11,000 steps a day and lifting weights for 1 hour. So again, when I went to physical therapy, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't overexercising, and the therapist said that my range of motion in my operated hip, again, was still totally normal, even though it's a bit tighter than my right hip. So you really want to build your foundation before you think you will need it. And I asked the physical therapist, am I walking too much? Because initially I would walk around the little circle in my house and then come back into the house and lie in my hammock and rest up. So I'd start out by doing little walks, like 5-minute walks, and then gradually built myself up. And she said, no, walking is really good because it increases circulation to the area. And it wasn't that it was pain-free. When I first started walking, my hip was very stiff. And I remember even wondering, are my legs different lengths now? But I went to the chiropractor and the structure was completely balanced. They did an excellent job. So my legs are absolutely the same length, even though it felt sort of odd when I started walking. But what I would notice is when I would walk, the next day I would feel better. So get yourself out of the chair while you're resting and definitely walk. Now, one of the things that I did that has been incredibly helpful for my recovery is to drink organic juice. And a lot of times, again, one of the things that we have to remember is that all of us have a body. My body happens to be 66 years old. It's all real. My hair is real. My body is real. My face is real. I do wear makeup. I don't dye my hair. This is my original hair. I brush my hair. I wash my hair. I wear makeup, but it's all real. But one of the questions that I ask myself is whenever I've got a health challenge, I always ask myself, well, what would I advise a client to do? Well, one of the things that I find myself recommending over and over again as a medical intuitive healer is I recommend that people start juicing or making smoothies. And I have lots and lots of training in nutritional healing. I am a trained food healer, so I've studied with Jeff Primack in making smoothies for healers. And if you have any kind of health problem, like a heart problem or a kidney problem or a bone problem, I can talk to you about the kinds of juices or smoothies that are really going to help you. Now, health nuts will argue about which is healthier, juices or smoothies. And the correct answer is actually smoothies. So if you get a BlendTec blender and grind up your fruits and vegetables, you're going to get all the nutrients that are in the pith, the seeds, and the skin of the fruits and vegetables. However, when you are recovering from surgery and you're just really tired and you can't rush out to the produce market every day to get pounds and pounds of fruits and vegetables, a real simple thing to do is to order organic juices. And that is what I did. So I'm in Atlanta. There's a lovely lady, Nadia Fountain, who has a wonderful website, gojuicyatl.com. I'm a long-term juicer. I'm a long-term blender, smoothie maker, and her juices were the absolute most delicious that I've ever had. So why would you want to be ju making juices or smoothies when you're recovering surgery? So you have to think about your cells, right? And I remember there's several stories that I can tell you about juicing. The first story is I remember years ago, I was out for a walk in my neighborhood, and I came across one of my little neighbors who was in his 90s at the time, and he was out for a walk. No walker, no hiking poles, no cane. He was out for a walk by himself, walking in the neighborhood. And it was so cute because his little black kitty cat was waiting on the steps, waiting for him to make sure that he came home. So I started talking to him, what's your health secrets? Because there he is out walking by himself in his 90s. I thought, this man certainly knows how to be healthy. He said, I'm a juicer. I said, well, what do you juice? He's just like, well, whatever's in the refrigerator. And he'd been a long-term juicer. So when you juice, it's going to make your cells healthy. Now, the second story I can tell you about juicing is I remember when I studied healing, I used to go to Canada to study with my mentor in healing. And I would work really hard. I'd take my supplements, I'd drink my water, and then I'd go up there and they would do lab tests with me, and I barely made any improvement. And then finally, I started juicing, and they had a lady at the time who did live blood cell analysis. So, what is live blood cell analysis? They prick your finger, they put your blood, a drop of blood, on a little plate, and they look at your blood under a microscope. And if you've ever seen live blood cell analysis, what you realize is that pretty much all humans need two things. Number one, digestive enzymes, because if you don't have enough digestive enzymes, there will literally be flat fat globules floating around in your blood. And then the second thing is antioxidants. And the more antioxidants you get in your diet from eating fruits and vegetables, and of course, you all should be eating 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, and/or juicing and/or making smoothies, when you're getting enough antioxidants, natural antioxidants from real food, not just supplements, what happens is it actually helps to heal the cell walls. And then, in addition to that, if you understand the organs, your liver, your kidneys, all of these respond better if you're eating lots of fruits and vegetables. And I definitely eat my fruits and vegetables, every day, like everyone else. But when you're really wanting to heal, you really want to have a high amount of antioxidants. And everyone should be getting antioxidants are measured in something called ORAC, oxygen radical absorption capacity. ORAC, that's this, an acronym for antioxidants. And when you get 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, you're going to get between 3 and 6,000 ORACs a day. But when you're juicing or making smoothies, then you're basically loading your body with lots and lots of antioxidants and phytonutrients so that your body can heal at the cellular level. So when you're recovering from surgery, you're healing your organs because they had to go through anesthesia and the pain medication, and you're healing your muscles and your bones. And one of the best ways to do that is with juicing. So I'm drinking two organic juices every day, and they get delivered. I get a variety of juices. When I'm not that great of a cook, even though I'm a nutritionist, and when I juice myself, the juice tends to really taste the same. So I get wonderful organic juices every day delivered, and I'm drinking two, sometimes three every day. And the celery juice, of course, is going to help flush the liver and the kidneys. And then you're getting a wide variety of fruits and vegetables by getting a wide variety of juices. And with that, let's take another break and listen to another message from our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author, and I'm here talking to you today about what I learned recovering from total hip replacement surgery. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. I'm here today talking to you about 10 things I learned recovering from total hip replacement surgery. Now, one of the choices that I made, and it was a conscious choice, was I chose to avoid taking oxycodone, also known as hydrocodone, if at all possible. Now, I wasn't worried about becoming addicted. And again, if you're listening to this broadcast and you've gone through a painful surgery and you have to take oxycodone or hydrocodone, I'm absolutely not judging you at all. So pain is pain, and pain after surgery can be really intense. And for me, as I mentioned, I ended up having to spend the night in the hospital. It was interesting because most hip surgery is done on an outpatient basis, but they did my surgery very late in the day, so I didn't have a long time to recover. My surgery started about 2 p.m. At least that's the last time I saw on the clock before I lost consciousness. And then it was probably about 5:30 or 6 when the physical therapist asked me to stand up. So when I was in the hospital overnight, they gave me IV fluids. They had compression on my legs, which was really helpful. And they gave me IV pain medicine. So by the time the next morning, I was significantly feeling a lot better. And again, I could stand up and walk and that sort of thing. But even the nursing staff at the hospital agreed this is a smart step. And I know I helped my mother overcome hip surgery in May. And my mother has very, very sensitive digestion. So I didn't want my beloved mother to be in pain. But at the same time, I didn't want the pain medication to upset her digestion any more than it already was. So I helped to wean her off the oxycodone as soon as we could. So a couple of years ago, I worked with a client in England who had become addicted to opioids. And I did lots of healing work with her. I did medical intuitive readings. And what I saw was the opioids were literally destroying her brainstem. And she would frantically message me in extreme pain from the side effects. So before surgery, you have to stop all your supplements. After surgery, you can start on your natural healing. So once you can turn the page, start your natural healing as soon as you can, because you want to avoid the side effects of the drugs. Which brings me to the next point, which is to take as little pain medicine as you can tolerate. So after this surgery, I took tramadol, I took Tylenol. I believe the doctor also had me on Celebrex. And being compassionate, there's a place in healing for both traditional and alternative medicine. And for the Natural Healing Show, I recorded an entire radio show on practical steps to take when your doctor prescribes medication. And you can go back through the archives, or you can go to YouTube and look at find the recording that I did on practical steps you can take when your doctor prescribes medication. So as I mentioned, I don't usually take any drugs, legal or illegal. And it was a very interesting experience for me to be on drugs because I had a lot of brain fog, which affected my memory. So another thing that you want to do is do all the recommended physical therapy exercises. Motion is lotion. And the doctor gave me a little notebook explaining the entire process. It included physical therapy exercises. So I would sit in my recliner and do my physical therapy exercises or however they needed to be done. And then as soon as those became easier, I started increasing my steps. So again, I would walk short amount of time and then take a rest. So next point is to start walking, even with a walker or hiking poles, as soon as you can. Now, I really didn't have a choice because my home is three stories, and they say after surgery, after hip surgery or knee surgery, go down, go up with your good foot or your good leg, and down with bad leg. So I tell myself that as I would go up and down the stairs. So within 4 days post-surgery, I could walk around without a walker or hiking poles. So going back to my experience teaching yoga for 31 years, I have good balance. And when I teach yoga, I make everybody hold the balance poses for like 60 seconds, which is really hard. But again, if you can't, according to the British Medical Journal, if you can't stand on one leg for at least 10 seconds, then your risk from dying from all causes over the next 10 years is actually double. And I also teach yoga for osteoporosis. And one of the things that I point out is that if you fall, if you have osteoporosis and you fall, then you're likely to break your hand, your wrist, your hip, or your spine. And older women who fall and break their hip, something really scary, like 50% of older women with osteoporosis who fall and break their hip, something like 50% of them die within a year as a complication of falling. So if you don't have good balance, absolutely use a walker or hiking poles, but walk and then rest. So another thing that I learned from the hip surgery is what anesthesia does to your brain. It's really funny in that, as you know, I'm a medical intuitive healer, and people frequently come to me to learn about how to access their intuition. I wrote an entire book about that, Unlimited Intuition Now. Unlimited Intuition Now explains how the different kinds of intuition work and how to use your intuition, how to access your soul guidance. So I used to have a rule that I wouldn't teach anybody about their intuition if they were taking drugs, especially if they were taking antidepressants or any anxiety medication. And then I decided, okay, you're being way too hard on people. Go ahead and teach them, and they'll get whatever they can get. But it was really interesting from someone who doesn't usually take any drugs to suddenly be on being on drugs for after the surgery. And I had so much brain fog, and it really felt like my intuition was out of reach, even though it really wasn't. And as I got better, then my mind became clearer and my intuition and came back with greater clarity. Another thing that I learned is how important it is to allow your friends and neighbors to bring you family dinners. So my partner did a great job taking care of me, but he is not a cook, and caregiving is a very time-consuming job. I know when I took care of my mother in May, I didn't work for an entire week. I just took care of my mother. So if you're a caregiver, you're probably nodding your head because it's very time-consuming. It's physically draining, emotionally draining, and it's pretty much all you can do when you're taking care of somebody who's recovering. So it was probably helpful for my partner that I could, get mobile and walk around with my walker and, go get to the bathroom and so on. But anyway, one of the greatest things that really helped me was having friends and neighbors and yoga students and clients bring us dinners. It was so lovely. So at first, I was too tired to stand in front of a stove, and it just felt so nurturing, not just from the food, but from the love and care for people bringing us food. So I'm internally grateful for the kindness and generosity of my friends when I needed the most. And, you know, one of the things that I learned about healing is that when you are in a healing state, you need to actually practice receiving. And it's okay to receive. I happen to be a giver. I love being a giver. That's part of why I'm a healer. I love helping people. It's just nurturing is just part of my personality. But at the same time, there's a balance between giving and receiving. And there are times in life when you need to receive. And receiving after surgery is really important. And it's part of your healing process is to receive the love and care of others in whatever form that may be, whether it's a phone call or a visit or a meal. So the last of the 10 things that I learned was how important it is to rest. Now, one of my 10 books is called Unlimited Energy Now, and that book is all about how to restore your energy. And I was really, really tired after surgery. Again, it takes a lot out of you to go through this, even when you're really healthy. So I needed to rest, and I learned, not that this is a newsflash, that I really suck at resting, but your body heals through rest. So you want to find a balance between getting off the sofa and going for your walk, making yourself keep your joints mobile, and then also resting. So everything in life serves a purpose. One of the side effects of pain is that it forces you to rest. I had to remember to take it easy when the pain subsided. Fortunately for me, the weather was amazing and I could be in the fresh October air and lie in my hammock and enjoy the sunshine and listen to the birds and watch the trees. So giving yourself permission to rest. And one of the most common recommendations I make for my clients who are tired is get a hammock. I'm all about a hammock. I have a polysilent hammock. It's a quick dry hammock. When it rains, you just flip it over, shake it out, and then you're back in business resting again. So you want to have places in your home or garden when you can rest. When you're outside, you're going to get the benefits of natural sunlight, increase your vitamin D, get the fresh air, and listen to the healing sounds of nature. So before my left hip got really, really bad, my Whoop said that I was walking over 16,000 steps every day. So taking time off allowed me deep inner listening. And when you rest, rest your body, rest your mind, rest your soul, then again, you can start listening to your inner guidance. You can reflect on your life. So it's now been a month since my surgery. I'm now averaging over 11,000 steps a day. I'm lifting weights once a week. I'm being very careful. Physical therapist told me to avoid external hip rotation and to limit my hip extension. But she said, "You're so healthy and everything's in such normal range of motion. I don't actually need physical therapy." She said, "Just keep doing what you're doing." So my hope is that if you or one of your loved ones need hip replacement surgery, that this broadcast has helped you. Remember, natural healing actually works. It will speed up your recovery if you do have to go through surgery. And I'm sending all of you love, light, and gratitude. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.